All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Professor Harvey, at the root of all of this is our nation is really in trouble. And there are people who don't want to believe that that's a fact. And our nation really needs to take a thorough examination of itself, because the future is not going to be so bright. I mean, you can't continue to say, we continue to spend all this money on the military, and that's going to keep us elevated, and that's going to keep us on the top of the heap, when inside of the nation, the rot in the nation is so plain for everybody to see. I mean, Professor Harvey, we're the COVID situation that is horrific, and yet in the face of it, we're still arguing with people because we don't want to wear a mask. Never mind if there's science that tells you, you know, it's safer. We've got people who will ignore all of that because guess what? I'm an American. I'll do whatever the hell I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me anything different.
Well, Earl, you know, when you got a society that's tearing itself apart, you pick and choose what you want to adhere to and what you don't want to adhere to.
Right.
And when you tell people, when you have people make these blanket statements saying, well, you know, every person should have a right to bear arms. But they don't really mean that, because in reality, in terms of the law, if you are a convicted felon, you can't own a weapon. Everybody on the block, including the little JJ, who's just 3 years old in the diaper. You know, I mean, he has more rights than you do to bear arms. You know, and where do we draw the line? I mean, I used to have this debate all the time when I was with my, you know, Army Reserve unit. And those guys be going on and on about the right to bear arms. And I had one guy stand up and say, I got a gun right now for my 2-year-old grandson. And, you know, as soon as he turns 3, I'm arming the little rascal. And my thing is, I mean, how stupid can you get? Because one of the things that you understand is, where is the cutoff about who bears arms? And you can't sit there and say everybody has that right. And I said, what about the guy that is? And I heard one deputy sheriff that was sitting at the table. He was a master sergeant, so he was sitting there arguing, well, you know, I want my 3-year-old grandson to own a weapon. You know, and everybody should have their right. I said, well, what about that guy that you just locked up and gave 25 years?
So Professor Harvey, I want you to hold that thought, because this is just what the article I was reading this morning. It's out of Kansas City. After passing a law 6 years ago allowing convicted domestic abusers to carry firearms, Missouri lawmakers have again stalled on legislation that would close that loophole. Representative McCreary, a Democrat who represents part of St. Louis, was in office in 2016 when the wide-ranging, contentious gun bill was signed into law. Why would you allow allow convicted domestic abusers to carry firearms, Professor Harvey? They did that six years ago in Missouri.
Earl, the bottom line is that you continue to try to find a way to put weapons in the hands of individuals that don't deserve to have them, because, you know, they feel that it's protecting their right to bear arms, you know, and more sensible people. But what they don't seem to realize is that most sensible people aren't committing the crimes. It's the extremists that will always get their hands on weapons. And the more weapons that are out there, the more equal access they're going to have to those weapons. And all automatically it's going to end up in the hands of children. I saw a study that was on television the other day. It was saying that 1 in 8 children at some point during the course of are going to get their hands on a deadly weapon that's found in the household. Yeah, it's not happening out there in the street. It's happening right there in the house.
Right.
And so, you know, there's so much blind belief in the Second Amendment that it's like the charge of the light brigade. We don't ask you to go out. We just go ahead and do it. We just blindly go ahead thinking that things are going to work themselves out, whether or not. Because the weapon systems out there today, whether it's a handgun or whether it's a rifle, are far more deadly than they were back at the turn of the 18th century when the founding fathers and the colonialists would try to create this society and it grew into the United States of America. We don't understand that the weapon systems are different now. An assault weapon can do damage to a lot of people because that's what it was designed to do. And if you go back to the 13th, 14th, and 15th century and look at the development of handguns in the West, it was already in the East, but in the West, you will find that handguns were designed for close quarter combat to kill human beings. That's what it was designed to do. But the assault weapons today is a deadly piece of equipment that is designed to take out a whole lot of people quickly, just a squeeze of that trigger. And so we don't. It's like our mindset of dealing with modern-day deadly weapons is stuck somewhere back in the 18th century when we created the Second Amendment, along with the other 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights. We are still stuck back in the 18th century for a 21st and 22nd century phenomenon known as assault weapons. And so we're behind the times on that. And then, of course, as we become more divisive, as we have become, we find out that it's easier for one side that dominates the manufacturing and control of these weapon systems and the production of these weapon systems. Those individuals are the ones who call the shots as to where the guns go, but not just the guns, because the weapon system is one thing. The ammunition that goes with them is another phenomenon. And so they're matching magazines, they're matching the ammunition to go along with the handgun or the rifle, in this case, so that you can engage a target accurately and quickly. And this stuff is just readily available. It's as easy to get a gun as it is to get drugs.
Yes.
And the two, there's a reason why the two are married and go hand in hand, guns and drugs. You know, so that's where we are right now. We are a divided nation, and we are afraid that the other one is coming to get us. That's what I call the boogeyman nation.
So
we're now in a nation where the boogeyman is coming to get us.
We've got to go to a break. But there's no way that the society can prosper at the rate it's going now with what you have just laid out. You know, it doesn't matter where you live, you know, in the long run, because, you know, you're not going to be safe from the outcomes, you know, where somebody, no matter where you are, can bring danger and death to you and I.
But it's internal as well as external, because you got just as much danger in the house as you do from outsiders.
Okay, Professor Arbery, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Professor Bob Harvey is on the line. I'm always excited to bring him to you. So we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Can't put it in the hands of fate.